While driving in the state of Pennsylvania, a family caught up to an Amish carriage. The owner of the carriage obviously had a sense of humor because attached to the back of the carriage was a hand-printed sign that read, "Energy efficient vehicle, runs on oats and grass. Caution, do not step in the exhaust." Don't step in the exhaust. You know, this carriage driver is encouraging people, of course, to be cautious, to be cautious as an individual, lest they step into an undesirable mess. You know, that's true in life as well. Being cautious, being a cautious person can keep each of us tonight out of a lot of messes that we can step into in life. And so often when we make hasty, emotional, or passionate-driven choices, we find ourselves in situations we'd rather not be in. And I think every one of us has been in those circumstances where we just kind of made a decision on the fly. We weren't thinking things through, and then all of a sudden we ended up reaping more than we planned to. We ended up losing out more than we suspected, and we find ourselves just in a situation we'd rather not be in. Our hearts are very prone to wandering in directions that we should not, and a cautioned person weighs their decisions wisely, particularly, of course, the big ones in life. The Apostle Paul is giving Christian people here some advice under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as they walk through life. Ephesians 5 here in verse 15 and 16 will be our text tonight. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." It says here, "So then ye walk circumspectly." That word circumspectly basically means cautiously throughout this life. We are to step through life with a cautiousness about us as we make one decision to the next so that we end up in the right destinations that we desire for life and, of course, God desires for us. And tonight we're going to talk about this character quality of developing cautiousness. Let's go ahead and pray first. Father, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity to be here. Do pray that, again, the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts and help us to be people who are cautious in the decisions that we make. Help us not to be hasty in spirit, impetuous in any way, so that we find ourselves in positions we'd rather not be in. May you be glorified and lifted up tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, throughout the Bible, we learn something about our hearts that the average person may have a hard time with. We who know Christ as Savior, we understand this because it was something we had to come to grips with before we got saved. But we learn from the Bible that our hearts cannot be trusted as a guide. Our heart cannot guide us correctly. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Who can know it? Look at that verse again. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's how God describes our hearts. Now, for the self-righteous person, they say, "Oh, well, I got a good heart." Well, God has a differing opinion, doesn't he? He says our hearts are wicked. They're sinful, if you will. Now, again, that sometimes is a shock to some people, but the sooner we learn that our hearts are very deceptive, or the deception of our own heart, the better off we're going to be. Because our hearts are sinful and inclined towards rejecting God's commandments and embracing His ways, it happens very readily, doesn't it? You don't have to work that one up. I mean, even Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart of a person proceed," notice, "evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." See, all this stuff comes out of the heart of an individual. You know, it doesn't take any much effort to think wrongly, does it? It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to sin. And of course, our actions first come from within. You know, they conjure up in the thoughts and the intents of our own heart. And naturally, our hearts are not prone to doing good. Our hearts have to be trained to do good. Hence the term character. That's what character is, getting Christ-like character. In other words, getting our hearts to be trained. But even then, even when a person has good character, nobody's perfect, are they? And we sin because sin is in our own heart. That's why the Bible explains in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a, ooh, strong word there, fool. Fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Why? Because the heart's deceitful. It will deceive us. This truth about our own hearts is important to understand as we consider this character trait of cautiousness. When people are being cautious, they are recognizing the fact that they have natural inclinations that are opposite of God's ways. And by being cautious, we're stepping back and saying, you know what? Is my heart deceiving me down a direction I shouldn't be going? Because it can really do that very quickly. It can. Our hearts can take us on journeys we wish we never would ever take. And when you and I are cautious, we are recognizing that fact and checking our heart to make sure that it isn't something that we're not supposed to be doing. The goal of a Christian should always be to align themselves and make their decisions in life based on God's ways, because His ways are always right. Psalm 18, verse 30, the Bible says that His way is perfect. His way is perfect. There's a song about that. His way is perfect. Everything that God directs us to do through His word, through His commandments, are perfect. They can't be improved upon. They are the way to fruitfulness. They are the way to an abundant life. They are the way to avoiding the scars that each one of us have gotten in our lives by not obeying His ways, right? Now, we may not always understand God's ways all the time, but they are far superior to our ways because, of course, His understanding is infinite. He knows far more than we do. He's got it all figured out. We don't. And we need help in life to determine our direction. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. How do I know? Well, think about this, just logically. There is nobody on planet Earth that can predict the future. Now, we can guess, but have you ever tried to predict your own future and be completely wrong? Have you ever tried to say, well, I think this is what's going to happen, the opposite happens? Or something completely different? You know, you and I do not have the ability to predict the future. None of us are psychics, if you will. Nobody has that ability. And there's so much that we just cannot predict. You know, we can do our homework. We can even do as much research as we want on a decision, but we can still be wrong on it because there are things that we cannot see that change circumstances in a heartbeat. Of course, there's so much that we just don't understand as people. There's so much in this world we just don't personally understand. Because there's just avenues that we just don't have access to learning and understanding. We can't understand everything that's going on in a person's heart. But God does. We can't understand how certain circumstances are going to work out, but God does. There's so much that we don't understand. There's just simply so much we can't even see. You know, God has the superior viewpoint, doesn't He? He sees down and He knows all. He knows every motive. He knows everything going on. He knows how everything works. And God can see that. We just simply can't. We have very finite knowledge. He has infinite knowledge. Hence, we can begin to understand why it says, it is not man that walketh to direct his steps. Because there's so much that we just personally don't understand ourselves that only God does. And a cautious person makes their decisions carefully with God's help. As they align their steps, his or her steps get aligned with what God commands and directs and the principles that He gives out in His Word. And much of what we need to do is just learn what those principles actually are, the specifics, and how to specifically apply them. And we'll end up in the place of God's blessing. Again, it's very easy to get deceived by something that looks and feels so right. I mean, people all the time get caught up into avenues of sin that look and feel so right. How can something so good be so wrong, or feel so good be so wrong? That's kind of the mentality. There are people getting in trouble all over the place these days because they've done that kind of stuff. They've just lived according to the way they wanted to and the way they felt. And there's shame coming upon their lives as a result of that. Very easy to get deceived by things that look and feel so right, but the end result is nothing that brings happiness or blessing in life. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:17, bread of the seed is sweet to a man. In other words, hey, it looks good, it tastes good, it feels right, but afterwards what happens? His mouth shall be filled with gravel. Gravel. Take a big old scoop of gravel. That doesn't taste very good, does it? You know, dry, dusty, hard, you know, you spit it out. It's very easy to get deceived. And we don't want to be people living with regret. I think we all have regrets. But I'd like to have the least amount of regrets possible, right? By making good choices. And one way to avoid it is by being cautious with our decisions in life. Can I say particularly the big ones? There's a lot of big decisions each one of us has to make in life. One big one is choosing our life's mate. We're going to marry. Hey, we need to marry somebody that has good godly character. We need to marry somebody who is on the same page with us spiritually. We need to marry somebody who's going in the right direction. Might not hurt to marry somebody who's got a job, amen? It helps, doesn't it? Pay those bills. Hey, look. There's lots of examples of people who married, and for a Christian, divorce should never be an option. It's till death do us part. Make that easier, choose a good one to begin with, right? Of course, there's career paths we could talk about. You know, God, you know, if God's not called you into the ministry, he's called you to do something. And whatever that might be, it might be you need to make it wisely. You know, of course, even large purchases, it should be something that's prayed over and sought after. It shouldn't be just flung into. Major moves. You know, those are all major decisions in life that will affect the way you're going and the way I'm going. Hasty people find themselves making choices that bring their life paths and directions. Again, that may initially have seemed dreamy. Oh, this is just really neat. But in the end, it ends up being just a nightmare. Just a nightmare. And who wants a nightmare? You know, who wants that kind of end result? Nobody does. Well, tonight, let's consider some thoughts about this subject of being cautious or developing cautiousness. First off, let's consider our inclinations. As I mentioned, our natural inclinations as people are sinful according to God. And if we're honest, we'd agree with that. You know, when we were young kids, we didn't have to be taught how to snitch a cookie, right? Nobody had to say, this is how you snitch a cookie. This is how you don't listen to your parents. Who had to be taught that? Oh, nobody, huh? Nobody had to be taught how to be bad, right? Yeah, some of you, right? Human nature does not naturally desire to obey God's precepts. In fact, human nature loathes to obey God. We really do. We don't always like to do that. We are often trying to find ways in which we can avoid it or get away with things we like to do that God says we should not do, right? We're always making excuses. As we seek to develop cautiousness in our lives, we must come to grips with that truth, as hard as that might be sometimes. But because it will get us, again, to stop and think about the decisions we're about to make. And that's important. There are times we've got to stop and think just a minute. You know, is this the right way I'm going, or is this just my heart leading me down this path? Is this just me kind of going in the direction I just kind of feel it? Or is this really what God wants me to do? Being cautiousness is, whoa, wait a minute here. Let's just make sure that this is right. Because if we make the wrong decision, it can cost us something. Be very costly. Sometimes in the heat of a moment, it's very easy to let the natural inclinations take over and act foolishly. You know, Proverbs 29:20 says, Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. If we're a person that's continually being hasty and just kind of jumping the gun and just kind of being impetuous, if you will, and impulsive, we're gonna hit something eventually that's gonna hurt. We're gonna be like, I wish I hadn't done that. And it will cost us something that we really don't want to spend on, if you will. Our text tells us to travel through life circumspectly. In other words, cautiously again. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A wise person walks circumspectly. A wise person is cautious with their decisions. A wise person weighs some things before making the decisions in life that will redirect them. They spend some time praying over them. They make sure their decisions are in line with God's principles. I remember years ago, my wife and I went down to the Wisconsin Dells here, and we spent a weekend down in there and so forth, and we got trapped in one of those timeshare things. They promised us everything, right? If we had just come and here, just see that, you know, it was all deceptive. Anyways, but just come and just hear their little spiel. What ended up being a two-hour ordeal where the guy just did everything he can, put the screws to you to try to get you to buy this timeshare and so forth. And I remember through that experience the guy saying, well, haven't you ever just called up the car dealer and just say, oh, I just want to buy this vehicle? And we looked at him square in the eye and said, no. And he's like, what? I'm like, the whole idea behind it is impulsive buying, of course. And you just get mesmerized and pressured into buying something that you live to regret. But that can be human nature. Just going out and just buying something, or just going out and making this big decision without thinking about it. You know, some people just, you know, going out, we're just going to go on a lope, you know. You know, they know each other for a week or two or a month or whatever. And hey, good enough. We're in love. And it's like, boy. And they live to regret that. Or they make the big decision on the one-night stand and it throws their life off completely. You know, just impetuous with what they're doing. Just to be impetuous, again, it means being impulsive, being just flying off on a whim. Oh, that sounds good. Let's go with it. You're going to get in trouble. At some point, you're going to get in trouble, and if it's a big decision, it will throw your life off. In some cases, it could cost. Some people can get into a real tailspin that's hard to get out of. Again, our hearts can lead us astray very quickly. The devil can make something look so good. Oh, I mean, he knows how to sweeten the deal. Let me tell you. He knows how to. He knows what trips our trigger. He knows what chords to hit in our heart to get it going in a direction. He knows our weaknesses. He knows, you know, what we lust after the most. He knows where, and you know what, he can bring those things across our path. He does it all the time. He'll start putting thoughts in your head. You know, you got to consider this, and all of a sudden you got this opportunity for whatever this is. The devil knows how to make things look really good, and we sometimes feel we know what's best. And then time passes and we realize what we did was just the most foolish thing we could have ever done. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know? Decisions need to be made carefully. If we want to be cautious, we have to recognize, again, that we are prone to things that lead us away from God's ways. That our heart is that way. And knowing that, we need to take steps to make sure our hearts aren't going to lead us astray. Because that's a wise thing to do. It's a wise thing to do. Secondly, consider others' instructions. Now, the Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. It mentions that in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. In other words, that means everything we experience and the choices we are confronted with, others have had to deal with before. Okay? And if we want to be cautious instead of a rash, hasty person, it would be wise for us to consider what other people have experienced and their counsel. Sometimes we kind of don't like getting counsel because it might go against what we want to do. But can I say, it might just save you and I from a heartache, from a major loss in life. We can learn from other people's experiences. Now, of course, God gave us His Word. It was chock full of examples of people who took diligent heed to discover God's direction in circumstances and follow through. There's lots of examples of people that did the principles that God is trying to teach us. And you see what took place in their life, how God blessed them and God used them and how God worked out their circumstances. The Bible mentions these stories of hope to us. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Bible is loaded with examples of people who obey God's directives in life, and as a result, we can take their advice, if you will, or we can see their example in Scripture. Of course, the flip side is true with those who did not in Scripture. There are examples of those that disobey God and went against God's commands, went after their own whims of their own hearts. And the Bible mentions in 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So there's both sides of the coin found in Scripture. Again, it's easy for us to be deceived, and the scary thing is that we don't know when we're deceived, right? So getting insight from other people, particularly those in authority over us and those who have experience, is quite helpful in directing our steps. Proverbs 11:14, now these is not the verse I'm looking for. Go over to Proverbs 11:14. We'll see this in the Scriptures here. Proverbs 11. Verse 14, it's a good verse. It says, where no counsel is, the people, notice, fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, many people have gone down roads we're considering traveling. Many people have gone down those roads and can tell you from their experience what took place. And they can help us and testify to us why we should or shouldn't go down that road, right? If somebody has learned a lesson down a road that can save me some heartache and save me some pain, I want to learn it. I don't like going through the school of hard knocks. Do you? Do you like going down through the school of hard knocks, getting bruises and scars and all those different things in life? I don't think anybody does. Many people have gone down roads we're considering traveling, and they can testify why we should or shouldn't go down that road. They can relate their experiences to us to help us recognize what is wrong and what is right about the choices we're trying to make. And we should be humble enough to take that kind of advice or seek it. We really should. Honestly, it could save us a lot of pain, a lot of agony, a lot of disappointment, by getting some advice, hearing other people's instructions. Again, getting those perspectives is a very wise thing to do. Again, we don't know it all ourselves, do we? We don't know it all ourselves. Not a one of us do. We haven't been down every road. And personally, I don't want to go down every road because not every road is a happy ending. And if I can avoid pain, lost time, lost money, lost relationships, hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. I think it's wise that we can get insight into things as cheaply as we can, if you know what I mean. As cheaply. Let other people pay the price. And I'll be honest with you, people who have paid that price are more than happy to tell you that, you know, this isn't what you want to do. They're more than happy. Again, we've all heard of people who've been through the school of hard knocks. Maybe you've been through that school a little bit too. And you can learn and testify. But those people have made many painful choices and can communicate to others what they learned through their mistakes. Cautious people don't go out and make rash decisions and choices without trying to gain as much insight into the decision they need to make as possible. Of course, one of the best places simply comes from other people. Other people who can tell you, you know what, this is what happened to me. Don't do it. Or this is how God blessed me. Do it. Whatever it might be. And tonight, if we want to be cautious people, I think it would be good that we listen to their stories. And not to mention that, observe how things have gone in their lives. And I try to observe how things go in the lives of other people. People I see that are succeeding spiritually. I try to see, I just observe. I may not have to ask a question, I just have to observe the way they are. And when we were on deputation, you know, I've been in over 200 churches on deputation. I observed a lot of things. I observed a lot of things I didn't want to do. And I observed a lot of things that I did want to do. You learn a lot just by watching and taking note and seeing what you can gain from other people. We can learn a lot that way. Again, if I can gain some insight as cheaply as I can, I want to do that. Because I'll go through enough hurts in my life, and you will too. And the more we can avoid, I think the better off we'll all be. So consider others' instructions. We can't be too proud to say, I know it all, I don't need any help. Remember, pride goeth before fall. Pride goeth before fall. And you will fall if you're not careful. Well, thirdly, let's consider our intentions. These are questions I think we need to ask ourselves. What is it that we desire in life? What is it that I desire in life as a person? Do we desire God's very best? That's a good question. Do we desire God's very best? Do we desire to live life with an eternal purpose? Do we desire to please God and glorify Him? That ought to be I hope would say, yes, I want to please God. I want to glorify Him. I want to live with an eternal purpose. I want God's best. Cautiousness in our decisions plays a vital role in seeing our intentions for life come to fruition over the course of time. A cautious spirit prevents us from being rash, hasty, and impulsive, which will lead to folly in our lives. Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want or lack. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. A cautious person is a diligent person. They're diligent in doing their homework. They're diligent in considering and thinking things through. The hasty person just doesn't consider, jumps at the impulse, and pays the price. And we really have to consider that we don't want to sacrifice our future on the altar of the immediate. You understand? You don't want to sacrifice your whole future on an immediate pleasure or something that you should not decide to do that will cost you the long run. One decision, one bad decision, can cost a person's future significantly. One impulsive decision. I think everyone here probably can think of somebody that made a bad decision in life and they've paid the price ever since. We don't want to go that direction. We really don't. You know, sometimes we can miss God's best because instead of following God's directives, we follow God's, our heart. And there are people today out of God's will. There are people today living substandard Christian lives. There are people living with regret all over the place because they were hasty instead of cautious, impulsive instead of walking circumspectly. You know, this thing of cautiousness, it doesn't mean that we, I don't confuse it with the analysis paralysis where we don't step out by faith. But cautiousness at least gets God's directive, has God's peace, gets wisdom on making decisions that can direct their lives to take the right kind of steps of faith. And may God help us to conquer those natural urges that we all have, those natural inclinations that inflame our hearts and get us to be impulsive, and instead be cautious people who just desire to please the Lord with each step they take in life. Nobody who desires to please the Lord and strives to do it ever regrets that choice. Nobody ever does. And may God help us to do so.